This is VOA 1, The Hits.
U.S. President Joe Biden promises a smooth transition of power to President-elect Donald Trump, and he urges Americans to accept the election results. Pre-election polling that showed a tight race between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris proved to be false, and Trump won convincingly. And in our entertainment report, Lagos Fashion Week attracts both local and international fashion designers to Nigeria's bustling commercial capital. All this and much more coming up on today's Africa 54.
U.S. President Joe Biden is urging Americans to accept the result of Tuesday's presidential election in which Donald Trump defeated Vice President Kamala Harris. President Biden is promising a smooth transition to Trump, his predecessor, who had encouraged a violent mob to march on the Capitol as legislators attempted to certify Biden's 2020 victory. VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell reports.
President Joe Biden on Thursday promised a smooth transition for his successor, who is also his predecessor, President-elect Donald Trump. He also encouraged unity after the defeat of his preferred candidate, Vice President Kamala Harris.
The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
Trump, in his victory speech a day earlier, also emphasized unity, as he noted the clear rightward shifts among voters that gave him a comfortable win.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment, uniting citizens of all backgrounds around a common core of common sense.
4 years earlier, Trump refused to accept his election loss to Biden. He stood by while an angry mob of his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol while the election was being certified on January 6, 2021. Biden on Thursday drew a contrast.
We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Biden also said he hoped to put to rest questions about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted, win or lose.
Trump's second inauguration happens January 20th, 2025. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
Polls leading up to the U.S. presidential election showed a tight race between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. But Trump pulled off a resounding win across several demographics, including with men, women, and Latino voters. VOA's Dora McCoy looks at how he won.
Polls showed the U.S. presidential race was tight, but Donald Trump drew widespread support and easily defeated Vice President Kamala Harris on November 5th.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody.
Trump overcame 34 felony convictions for falsifying business records to become the first Republican presidential candidate in 20 years to win the popular vote.
Why some candidates are Teflon covered and others are not, you know, I can't answer the question for you why, you know, Donald Trump's record, for instance, of infidelity and problems with some of the criminal stuff has not stuck to him.
What has stuck is the recurring message Trump has communicated to voters for years.
And that is, I hear you. I understand your struggle. I understand that things are not as good as they could be, and I'd like to help you out. I'd like to make it easier. You know, the press and the media like to talk about some of the crazy things he's said and all of that. But at the end of the day, it's been a very strong America First message.
All right, we're rolling. Good to see you, sir.
Trump's campaign targeted key audiences, often through podcasts and social media, that drew millions of views.
They targeted young men. They targeted those that didn't vote. They targeted those individuals that, have struggled under the last several years of inflation, and that's paid off.
Harris had about 100 days to run her campaign after President Joe Biden withdrew from the race in July. That compressed time frame hurt her chances, Riley says.
And a lot of criticism will go with Biden that he should have stepped out and exited sooner, right? But if he had left earlier, right, 30, 60, 90 days earlier, there would have been a primary, right? And Harris may not have been the candidate.
Harris was also hampered by her connection to an unpopular president.
It was clear that the American public wanted change. And for many individuals, they saw this as a continuation, for good or bad, of the Biden administration.
Other analysts say Harris focused too much on abortion rights and too little on the economy.
Far less than 1% of American voters are ever going to have to deal with abortion directly or indirectly. All voters have to deal with inflation, gas prices, home energy prices, less take-home pay.
There's no way to calculate how much, if at all, being a woman of color hurt Harris.
No, I don't think, quite frankly, that this really had to do with race and ethnicity or gender at all this time around. The messaging that Trump had really resonated just much more deeply than Harris for so many of these voters around the country.
A message that carried him to victory. Dora McQuarrie, VOA News, Washington.
For insight into what happens during the presidential transition period, I'm joined live from New York by David Onserio Monda, a professor of public policy and constitutional law at City University of New York. Professor Monda, walk us through what goes on behind the scenes for a president-elect during the period before he is sworn in.
So there's a handover from one administration to the other, obviously from the Joe Biden team to the Donald Trump team. As a former president, Donald Trump is still privy to the daily classified information that goes to all presidents and former presidents. But it's interesting to note that Susie Wiles was nominated as Trump's White House chief of staff. So that's an important, an important nomination, an important appointment from Trump, because she's been a loyalist to the Republicans for many years. She worked with Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, and she stood with Trump from 2015 till the present day. So I think part of her job will also be to coordinate that handover from the Biden administration into the Trump administration.
And what would you say would be the key tasks for the incumbent president, Joe Biden, in ensuring a smooth transition from his administration to Trump's?
I think one of the big ones here was not so much the political questions, but to calm his supporters. And I think Joe Biden has done an excellent job about that. Kamala Harris conceded the election. She was swept in all seven swing states. And in the popular vote, the Republicans won the Senate, and they're on course to win the House. Joe Biden has asked the country to stay calm. But I think also just in terms of, speaking one-on-one with Donald Trump, updating him on the global hotspots, be that the Ukraine-Russia war, the crisis in Gaza, obviously issues with trade and with China, but also on domestic policy in terms of the state of the economy and other issues around governance of the states. I think that communication is very important between the president and the president-elect.
Yeah, so you mentioned that, and indeed we know that previously when Trump was president, he was seen to be a very close ally of Russia's President Vladimir Putin. And that war between Russia and Ukraine is still ongoing. And we also have now, like you mentioned, the Middle East war, the Israeli-Gaza-Lebanon war, and even in Africa, the war in Sudan. How do you think President-elect Trump is likely to address these issues?
I think Trump's bigger focus will be on ending the war between Ukraine and Russia. And unfortunately, Ukraine comes to the diplomatic table with a weaker hand, because Trump has already said that he wants the war to end. So the Russians know that the U.S. does not want to continue to support Ukraine. I think on the Israel Palestinian crisis, Arab Americans will also be disappointed, because Netanyahu is very close to Donald Trump. The Republicans have shown that they're going to almost give a carte blanche, an open lane for the Israelis to do whatever they need to do in terms of eliminating Hamas and Hezbollah. But unfortunately, I also think a lot of crisis in Africa, in particular in Sudan, usually during Republican administrations, Africa tends to be marginalized in particular. And I don't think that crisis will get any particular immediate attention, maybe in the long term. But Trump's immediate interest, I think, would really be about the Ukraine-Russia war, because of all the billions of dollars that have been spent there, over 100 billion, and also the crisis in Gaza, because that's a geostrategic core area for the U.S.
Professor Monda, thank you very much for your analysis. David Onserio Monda is a professor of public policy and constitutional law at City University of New York. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's agenda calls for him to deliver on key campaign talking points: border security, strengthening the economy, and putting America first. While his promises are bold, details on how they will be carried out are few. VOA's Tina Trin reports.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
As it became evident on election night that Donald Trump would once again become U.S. president, he gave a victory speech in which he reiterated his agenda for the next 4 years. Border security remains a top priority. Trump has said that he will launch the largest deportation program of criminals in American history, and has called for the death penalty for any migrant who kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer. The tough talk was less evident on election night.
We're going to have to seal up those borders, and we're going to have to let people come into our country. We want people to come back in, but we have to let them come back in, but they have to come in legally. They have to come in legally.
Vice President-elect J.D. Vance touched on another key agenda item.
And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to lead the greatest economic comeback in American history.
We're going to be paying down debt. We're going to be reducing taxes.
It's less clear how the new administration will accomplish its economic goals without adding to an already growing deficit. But Trump's speech mentioned a person who might help: tech mogul Elon Musk, who Trump has said would lead a government efficiency commission to reduce fiscal waste and fraud. Trump commented on Musk's recent Starship rocket launch.
And it was a beautiful thing to see, and I called Elon. I said, "Elon, was that you?" He said, "Yes, it was." I said, "Who else can do that? Can Russia do it? No. Can China do it? No. Can the United States do it other than you? No. Nobody can do that." I said, "That's why I love you, Elon."
Experts say Trump's praise of Musk is about projecting strength and might on the global stage.
This idea about, are we the only country that can do this? Oh, yes, we're the only country that can do this. And I think Trump is able to use this image of Musk as not only a tech entrepreneur, but a visionary, a genius, to support this idea that he's moving forward, not as an individual, but as a nation.
In his speech, Trump told supporters what his guiding principle would be in office.
"I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises."
One of those promises would be what he calls the coming golden age of America. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Control of the U.S. House of Representatives remains uncertain. Republicans are 7 seats away from the necessary 218 for a majority, while Democrats need an additional 15 seats. With the Senate and White House already leaning Republican, President-elect Donald Trump may achieve total congressional governance when he takes office in January on January 20th, 2025. VOA's Paul Ndiho is standing by live on Capitol Hill with more. Paul, it's been a couple of days since Trump was declared the winner, but control of the House is still uncertain. Why do you think it's taking so long? What are you hearing from the Hill?
That's correct. There are some races that haven't been decided yet, but it's increasingly looking like Republicans will retain control of the House, as well as Democrats are hopeful. They are very optimistic about the possibility of also controlling the House. So what is at stake right now is who is going to end up being the ultimate winner. Both Democrats and Republicans are vying for that top coveted position.
So how do state laws and procedures impact how quickly the ballots are counted?
The interesting thing about U.S. elections, the system is very highly decentralized, as opposed to maybe Africa. In Africa, most countries, the election systems are centralized. They go to one place where, let's say, the Electoral Commission announces the results of the winners. But unfortunately here, or fortunately here in the United States, it's all about the local administrations, from state to local council governments, who are in charge of elections, who are in charge of voter registrations, keeping voter records. Those are the people who ultimately make decisions when it comes to who wins and who doesn't win. So in some cases, it takes a while to count these votes, to count these ballots, because they want to make sure that the error on the side of caution, not to make mistakes, and perhaps in most cases, they try to do the best job that they can do to make sure that the results they announce are the correct results.
Paul, you mentioned Africa here, but, there's a bit of a difference here. If you think about an African president being elected, usually they are sworn in a few hours for whatever reason. Here we're going to wait for a while. How is that really managed here without anybody raising a lot of issues?
Again, it's all about, you see, perception is reality. In some cases, if you announce too fast, people would say that maybe the election was rigged in somebody's favor. So you want to be clear. You want to make sure that if you're calling a race, you're calling it for the right person, the person who garnered the right votes. So in this particular case, it takes time to hand count some of these ballots. They use the machines, but sometimes the machines fail. So they resort to hand counting or hand ballot counting. So that's why you see that some of these races have taken a while to be decided. But ultimately, I think the 435 chamber will be decided soon, and we'll know who's going to control the speakership of that house.
Paul, many thanks. VOA's Paul Ndiho reporting live from Capitol Hill. We're excited to hear what you think about Africa 54 and all our VOA Africa programs on our website at voaafrica.com. Still to come, Lagos Fashion Week attracts local and international fashion designers. We'll be right back.
After women won the right to vote in America, it seems to be an even longer journey for a female candidate to see electoral parity towards the office of the presidency against men. Why has this been so historically in the United States of America? On the next episode of Our Voices, we discuss this and more as we analyze the results of the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in.
In other news, the head of the Africa CDC, Jean Kaseya, is warning that the mpox epidemic is not over, but it is slowing. 15 countries across Africa recorded over 11,000 mpox cases in the last 4 weeks, compared to nearly 13,000 in the 4 weeks prior, according to the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Peace is fragile in Mozambique as the Southern African nation deploys soldiers on the streets to help keep order following weeks of protests against the ruling party that has been accused of rigging last month's election to extend its 49 years in power. The presidential palace is under heavy guard. An international criminal court judges have unsealed an arrest warrant for Edmond Baena, a Central African Republic militia commander. He is wanted for murder, attempted murder, rape and attempted rape, extermination and pillaging more than a decade ago. Prosecutors say Baena and his fighters allegedly perpetrated the crimes as they carried out a 3-month reign of terror in a small village in early 2014. Botswana has a new president. Duma Boko was sworn in on Friday, cementing a whirlwind change of government after his landslide victory booted out the party in power for nearly 60 years. Boko, 54, took the oath in front of several thousand people in the national stadium in the capital. VOA's Philip Alexiou has more.
A joyful and celebratory day inside the National Stadium in Gaborone. Thousands of people gathering to hear their new president, Duma Boko, take the oath of office.
I, Duma Gideon Boko, do swear that I will faithfully and diligently discharge my duties and perform my functions in the high office of the Republic of President of the Republic of Botswana.
Friday's inauguration follows a historic election that ousted the former ruling Botswana Democratic Party from power as the umbrella Democratic Party won in a landslide. The left-leaning UDC won 36 seats in parliament compared to just 4 for the conservative BDP, a stunning reversal for the party that ruled the diamond-rich Botswana since its independence from Britain in 1966. The human rights lawyer turned politician and now the president, Boko, called on unity and pledged to lead the country to greater heights.
Embrace it. Be a part of it. Acknowledge the role that you played and continue to play in its unfolding. Stand hand in hand and shoulder to shoulder in this hour of great blessing.
Voter turnout was 80%, with young people making up 34% of the more than 1 million registered voters, according to a report by the Southern African Development Community Observer Mission. Analysts blame mounting economic grievances, particularly among young people, for the downfall of the BDP. But now the country's new president says it's time for a new political dawn.
It is with a deep sense of appreciation that I stand before you today, the living embodiment of your deep and true resolve.
Duma Boko, Now the sixth president of the Republic of Botswana, Philip Alexiou, VOA News.
It's time for our entertainment report, and joining us now is Jackson Vunganyi, host of VOA's Red Carpet Show. Hello, Jackson.
Hello, Esther. The Lagos Fashion Week attracted both local and international fashion designers to Nigeria's bustling commercial capital. The event showcased an impressive range of classic and innovative designs, captivating fashion enthusiasts and attendees. Omoyemi Akerele is the founder of the Lagos Fashion Week. She highlighted the designers' commitment to their roles within the fashion ecosystem.
We see our role within the ecosystem as catalysts, you know. For us, community is the starting point of the creative process. And we believe that, you know, when the garment and apparel value chain is functioning effectively, it contributes significantly to so many things, like socioeconomic development, in terms of job creation, wealth creation.
The event featured runway shows and presentations featuring new season collections from designers. One of the attendees was Anita Akide, a Nigerian social media influencer.
Yes, I love the fact that everybody came in their own element and in their own style, because fashion is very broad and can never be narrowed. So I love the fact that we got to see different designs from different people, different hairstyles, different outfit. Everything was given 11 over 10, minus nothing.
In recent years, Lagos Fashion Week has also become a springboard for emerging talent, encouraging young designers to experiment with form, color, and social commentary. Tite Oritematite is a fashion designer.
It's nice to see fresh things on the runway. I'm here to support some of my friends. A lot of innovation and creativity. It's nice to see what people have, you know, worked towards and put their energy towards. So it's always nice to come and support and just see what's new and what's fresh.
And that's our entertainment report for this week. Esther, back to you.
Thank you, Jackson. Be sure to join Africa 54 every Friday for another entertainment report. And that's our show for today. Be sure to watch Africa 54 on our website at voaafrica.com. From all of us here in Washington, have a great weekend.